right. So I know me and Kelly were out of town last week, but heard good reports about the service last Wednesday, and it was on prayer. And thought it was sort of fitting. He, you know, Ted had asked me about some subjects, and we talked about it, and he asked me which one I wanted to teach on, and, you know, of course, he knew the answer to that before he even asked. And so, of course, I wanted to teach on the Word. And I know he taught on prayer last Wednesday, and you had a good prayer service around the altar. And so I thought it was fitting to, you know, sort of tie the two together tonight. And so if you got any of the new ERA cake, I don't say that word right. Kelly gets on to me, so I'll spell it. I say it different than what she says, I believe. So, but if you got any of that cake there, she ordered a cake this morning, and she said, I need to order a dessert for the church. We're going to do a dessert, and I ain't got time to make it. I'm going to get it from new ERA. And I think I say ERA down there or something like that. Yeah. So, but, so I just spell it so I don't get in trouble. She said, so should I put anything on the cake? And usually she wouldn't even ask me that. And I said, sure, put Psalms 107:20 on there. And it is, and I'm going to read verse 19 as well and 20. Dave's going to put it up on the board for us there, I believe. This is going to sort of be the key scripture for tonight, where it says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, which is sort of what you do in prayer, right? It's what you done last Wednesday night. And he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and he delivered them from the destruction. And so I wanted to use that to sort of springboard into the word tonight, because I believe that they go hand in hand. And I would tell you this, and when I start this, I don't want you to feel like I'm saying anything about prayer. Certainly anybody would say we need to pray. You need to pray about everything. The Bible teaches us that. But I would submit to you that as much as prayer, a lot of times God will deliver and heal and speak and work through his word as much as he does even prayer. And so a lot of times when we're praying to the Lord, he will actually send forth his word and heal you. And not just a word to say that you're healed or that you're helped or delivered, but also in his word. There's so much power in his word, and that's what we want to talk about, is the priority and the power of God's word in a believer's life. As a matter of fact, I definitely think it's the, we'll call it the plumb line. So it's like a, almost like a tool of alignment, in my opinion. And so if you've ever done any building or whatever, you sort of understand a plumb line. So you hold a plumb line there, and then you square everything up off the plumb line. And so that line doesn't change. Everything is laid according to the plumb line. The plumb line does not change. If you go off course, then you're building incorrectly. You can't adjust the plumb line to your building. You've got to build according to the plumb line. And that's sort of the way I see the Word of God, in that there's no, and you can interpret different, and I don't know how much we'll get into some of that tonight, but a lot of your past experiences, how you were raised, even what church maybe you were raised in, all that sort of plays into how you interpret the Scripture. But I think the things that matter the most in the Scripture, it's hard to misinterpret to the extent that you would be totally wrong and veer off of that. And so my take on that is this. There's a lot of things we can do as a believer that we can even maybe get in ourselves some. And that's not a terrible thing all the time, right? You're full of zeal, you're full of excitement or whatever. But the Word has always just sort of been like a plumb line for me. And like, if it doesn't line up with the Word, it doesn't matter how we feel. So you can feel like this, or you can feel like God does this or wants this or says this, but you got to look, and does it line up with the Word? And so it's the plumb line. It's sort of like the guardrails, and I don't know if you remember or not, but we taught on guardrails here one time, like when you're driving and stuff, like you can go so far, but God sort of puts up guardrails, you know, and that guardrail is his word. And that's what I love about the word, is it'll keep you in bounds, so to speak. And so he sets boundaries, and boundaries are a good thing. So there's an old, you know, farmer's proverb or whatever. It says, never take down a fence until you know why the fence was put up. And so God put up fences, or barriers, if you will, guardrails in his word. And unfortunately, we're living in the world where we're taking those down. And when we do, we open up to a lot of destruction and a lot of upheaval. And you see that in the world that we're living in now. But that's sort of the way that the God's word comes across to me, is a plumb line and sort of a guardrail, if you will. And it's not a passive text. In other words, it's not something that you just read and go on to the next one. So it's not just purely educational or theological. It's actually living, breathing. How many of you have ever heard something preached or taught and you go, man, I never saw that? All right? Or you've read it before and you read through it again, and this time you're going through something and you read that verse and it speaks to you and it brings you hope or encouragement. And the last time you read it, you just read over it and you went on, but God spoke to you that time during that same scripture that you read last year at that time, and he used it. And so it's living, it's breathing. The Bible says more powerful than a two-edged sword. And so God's word is alive. As a matter of fact, Christ said, my words are truth, and they're life. They're spirit, they're life. They bring life to an individual. And so it's not a passive thing, but it's a thing we engage in. And it's one of those things that if we don't use it, there's really no benefit to sort of learning it. And so a lot of people equate discipleship with how much of the Bible you know, when God essentially really equates discipleship with how much of the Bible you do. You know what I mean? So like, and I say this all the time, I think I said it last Sunday in our membership class. I said, you know, what I call the old scoreboards, and some of you have heard me talk about this. I sort of giggle about it some. The old scoreboards, and every church used to have them when you would go in. You see them up front. Some churches still do, and I'm not saying anything bad about them necessarily. I'm just saying the scoreboard was how many you had at church, how many brought their Bible, and how much money did they give. And that was the scoreboard. So the bigger those numbers were, the more the church felt like it was winning. And I would submit to you that probably God's scoreboard would have much more to do with how much of the Bible you live out in a day than really how much you bring the Bible or even how much you read the Bible. And so you got to be a doer and not a hearer of the word only. And so it's not a passive text, but it's something to be engaged in and actually apply to your life. And what you'll find is it works. Like, it works. If you do, like if there's an area in your life that you're struggling with, find that in the scripture and read and study what God says about it and then do that accordingly. And I promise you, that'll get better. So if you're struggling with a relationship, like your marriage or whatever, study about that in the scripture. Do what the scripture says. And I guarantee you, your marriage gets better. Finances, if you struggle with finances, see what the Bible says about it. Do it, and I promise you, it'll get better. Ted?
I can honestly say there's been times that I've been going through something, whatever it was, if you will, and what you're talking about there. I've been going through something or whatever, and be praying or whatever, and the Lord bring a scripture to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would then go and read more on the scripture. It might just be a verse or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but it was like he was answering my prayer, but also saying, okay, now go read this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you will, he'll pour more into you and stuff like that. But it was just like he, with his word, you know, because yeah, it might even been a familiar scripture that I've read before,
mm-hmm.
or know that you can quote easily or something like that. And so, you know, that scripture will come to your mind, but you know when you get up, Brother John, I need to go read about it. I need to go read that again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you read it, and you get something different out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I think God absolutely will, whatever you're going through, if you're struggling with something or whatever, He'll direct you to His Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He will absolutely point you in that direction.
Oh yeah, and to that point, it'll bring comfort to your life. So, like I talk about the challenge that it poses to you a lot, but it brings comfort to your life as well. It'll comfort you. I mean, it's amazing. It's probably the only thing on earth that I know of can comfort you, challenge you, change you. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of things that can comfort you, and some things can challenge you, and very few things can change you. But the Word of God can comfort you. It can challenge you. It can change you. You can do just about anything. And it's going to bring, I think, if it's planted in the heart of man, it's going to bring forth change. As a matter of fact, you know, through the Word in Isaiah, it said that God's Word would not return to Him void. It would accomplish that which He sets out to do. And so when we think about that, when God's Word is spoken, it's taught, preached, whatever, how important is that to God? So every time, whether it's 200 or 20, whether it's me or Kathleen Runyon or Patrick or Ted, it doesn't matter who it is, Dave, whoever's teaching, preaching, whatever, God says that Word's not going to return to me void. So the power's not invested in the speaker. It's invested in the Word of God. And I don't know why, it pops in my mind, so I'm going to use it as an illustration. Jimmy Swaggart just passed away. Like one of the greatest, you know, evangelists, televangelists ever to live. Had a great following. And I know what I remember about it. I was a little bit younger. But then I sort of was reflecting back on that, you know, as I got older and even after I got saved. And I remember people thinking about everyone who got saved under his ministry, even while he was living in sin. Like he was doing the wrong things, preaching the Word, and people were still responding like crazy. And there had to be a tug of war in those people's hearts. Like, did I really get saved if I got saved under this individual? And that's where you border on putting your trust in the messenger instead of the message. And so it does not matter the messenger. God can use anybody at any time. He used a donkey, right? And so if He can use a donkey, He can speak His Word through anybody. And the power is in the Word. It's not in the person. And I say that because if we would all grab that, how much more, you know, could we glean from everybody who teaches, preaches, and so on, because God's Word is not going to return void. You get caught up in how the presentation is and everything else. Do they scream? You know what I mean? Do they spit on you? You know what I mean? Like, we think that's the good preaching, and to each their own. But to me, I don't care if you scream it, spit it, whisper it. It's the Word of God. And if you receive it, it'll change you. But I don't care if somebody doesn't receive it. You can scream it in their ear all day long. Whether it's screamed, whispered, or whatever, it's the Word of God. It's not going to return void. Ted, then Pat.
Well, as you brought up Jimmy Swaggart, and I was thinking about that because I've actually had people ask me that question before, you know, whether it be him or, you know, they just somebody local that, you know, a preacher ended up backsliding or something like that, and, you know, they would question things like mm-hmm. that. But, you know, what I thought of as you were saying that was, you know, Judas was still sent out two by two.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, you know, he still went out, and I'd say he probably laid hands on the sick, and they were healed too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we can kind of see in God's Word that he was his relationship with Christ real? Probably not. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? He called him teacher. He didn't really call him master.
Right.
You know what I mean? And stuff like that. But still, because he was sharing the good news of Jesus, that was powerful.
Oh, yeah. It's all in the Word.
I was thinking about when you start talking about it, is Nicodemus. When Nicodemus was a man who knew the Word, he knew the Word better probably than anybody because they called him teacher. And he asked Jesus, he had to be changed by the water and the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not changed as teachers or preachers by the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
we're just leading astray.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be the Spirit. The Spirit has to be inside man.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit has to be changed. I had to be changed from who I used to be
mm-hmm.
and for it to receive on the other end.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? They cannot receive something from me that I don't have.
Absolutely.
And Nicodemus could not go in and inherit the kingdom of heaven until he was changed. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell him.
Yeah.
That the word stood before him, but he had to change in the spirit.
Yeah.
You got to change the inner man, the spirit man, before you can ever change the fleshly man.
Absolutely. He even told Nicodemus, you can't see it.
Yeah.
Before he said you can't enter, he said you can't see it. And what it was Nicodemus had questions, and Jesus sort of interrupted him there. If you look at that conversation, it's almost like he comes to him and he says, we know that you're from God, because nobody sort of teaches the way you're doing that. You know, that was the frame of thought. And Jesus just stopped him and said, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. In other words, you're going to have questions, and I got answers, but you ain't going to see them because you're not born again. And the Bible makes that plain. A carnal man cannot receive anything from God, from the Spirit. So unless you've been changed, the Bible's just the Bible, like it's another book that's been written. And that's, honestly, at the end of the day, just a little rabbit trail. That's what makes witnessing so hard. You know what I mean? Like trying to witness to an atheist or whatever. Like if they, and that's what I mean by the Word of God and being the plumb line. If they refute the Word of God, you might as well just hang it up. You know what I mean? If they don't believe that the Bible is the Scripture and the Word of God, yeah, I mean, you're casting your pearl before swine. They're just not going to receive that. And what you got to pray is God plows the heart to receive the Word of God, because it's a stony heart, right? But also the Bible talks about, I think in Jeremiah, sending like his hammer being a word that'll crush up the stony heart so that the seed of God can be planted. Joe?
Well, before I was under conviction and stuff, of course, I had Lisa's mom always witness to us. My mom witnessed to it. People coming in the store witnessing to me. But it's like my heart wasn't receptive to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, growed up in church, Kessler Free Will Baptist, growed up there. Mom was a Sunday school teacher. Dad was a deacon.
Mm-hmm.
I still didn't receive that word.
Yeah.
But when I come under conviction, when the Spirit started drawing me, is when the Word really opened up to me, you know, and I seen Jesus and everything.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean,
couldn't run from it then, could you?
But my heart was receptive then, but the Spirit had to draw me before I was actually receiving it.
Yeah. Has to break up that stony heart, really, you know what I mean, for the seed to be planted.
I think it's important, too, what Brother Joe's saying there. You know, I can witness to somebody, you know, just give them a kind word or invite them to church or whatever, encourage our brothers and sisters like we're supposed to, because these are empowerment sessions which are intended to empower us for growth, you know what I mean? And as you talked about worship and now we're doing the word and prayer and stuff like that, those are all vital parts of us growing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important about the Word of God is this. If I give Joe a word, it holds weight, okay? But my word can't heal Joe.
Right.
When we speak Scripture, God has spoken that word. We read the Bible, but it's wrote down with inspiration of the Holy Spirit, meaning God spoke it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it powerful. It's the very words of God. So when we say you need to know the Word of God, the Bible, the Bible's there because God spoke it.
Mm-hmm.
And when God speaks something, it holds weight. You know what I'm saying? And I think sometimes we may fail to realize that the importance of it is, you know, my word does not scare the adversary.
Mm-mm.
Demons are cast out on his word, not on my word, but his word holds power. And, and I think if we want to really grow in the Lord and go to the next phase or deeper or whatever God's wanting for each of us, and I know you feel everybody's got a calling on their lives, I think it's really important to study the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't have the Word of God, you don't ever know, folks, and I know some of you folks, you understand what I'm talking about. Me and Tara's been called for prayer before, and we went to other churches. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to ramble on, but we went to other churches, and you don't ever know what you're going to, you know, get into. We went to churches before, and man, we're talking about demonic entities.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had to pray and stuff like that, but they're not scared of me.
Mm-hmm.
I never seen them shake in their boots of anything I said, but when the Word of God is spoken, that's when you see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's for us, in really the gravity of it, how important this is huge.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, Proverbs chapter 18 talks about how important your words are. How much more important, to Ted's point, is the Word of God. Like, your words carry, as he said, a lot of weight. The Bible makes that plain about you're going to be satisfied with the fruit of your lips. You can speak life or you can speak death. All those things, your words carry weight. So how much more weight does God's word carry? And to Joe's point about the Spirit convicting and Patrick talking about the Spirit having to do its job for you to receive the Word of God, that's exactly what happens at your conversion. And so the Word of God is so many things, and Ted talked about it, how powerful the Word is. And if I said the Word is a person, would you know who that person is? Jesus, right? Because Jesus is the Word, right? If I said the force that created everything you see, it's the Word of God. God spoke and spoke things into existence. Christ is the Word. He sends forth His Word and heals them. So the Word of God is so important. And number one, it's how you're saved. To Joe and Patrick's point, you got to have that fleshly heart that's been broken up, the stony heart been broken up to where the seed of God can be planted in you to create a new creation. And I often use this as an illustration, and I know it's August, but like around Christmas time, we talk about Jesus, you know, being born of a virgin and things of that nature. And if you look at that scenario there, God sent His word by an angel, said, you're going to conceive. And the Bible says Mary believed, and she conceived Jesus, a brand new creation. Nobody had ever been conceived that way before. All man, all God. He was born of the Word of God, the seed of God from the Word of God, because she believed it, and she received it. So the Holy Ghost hovered over there and essentially put the seed of the Word of God on the inside of her, and the Word grew. She gave birth to Him, Jesus. That's exactly what happens when you and I get saved. The Holy Spirit hovers over us and deposits that Word into our heart and brings forth a new creation in Christ Jesus, which is us. And so the Word is so powerful. It's creative, if you will, in that it created the world. And when spoken by faith, right, you got to have faith when you speak that, it can change so many things. And Jesus taught about it as being a seed, the Word of God. And when He sort of throwing the seed around, we know that some fell on stony ground, some on some ground that was not real deep, and as soon as the sun came out, it was scorched and gone. But some fell on good soil, and it brought forth a lot of fruit. And so the fact of the matter is, when the seed is sown on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, whenever it is that you hear the word taught or preached, it's being spread. And if your heart, here's where you can sort of have a part to play in this equation, and I don't want to make anybody mad, but you might get mad. So if you say, well, I don't, you know, and there's certain reasons. This is not across the board, okay? So this is not a blanket statement necessarily, but it would be a good place to start. Like if you don't receive anything from this, from a church service on Sunday or whatever, the very first thing that you need to do is make sure that your heart is prepared to receive the word. Make sure it's not in a stony position. Does that make sense? Make sure that you prayed and said, God, whatever it is that you want me to have today, I'm asking you to open up my heart, soften my heart. The Bible says, receive the engrafted word that's able to save your soul. Receive it with meekness. You can't receive the word in an arrogant, you know what I mean, way. You can't be a prideful, arrogant person and receive the word. You've got to do it with meekness, in humility, understanding that that word may challenge you and change you, and you can't, you know, you have a collision with it, and you gotta allow the word to do the work there and not close off your heart to that. That's why Jesus said, if you got a ear to hear, let him hear, right? So, Ted?
I, you know, the Bible says, or the Scripture, the Word says, a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. You know, mm-hmm. So I have to believe, you know, I don't want to go too deep into, you know, I'm not talking about predestination or anything like that. But I am talking about, you know, every time, as you're saying, prepare ourselves when we go into the house of the Lord, or prepare yourselves before you read the Scripture. You know, how many times do we pray before we read the Bible? Think about that. Are we preparing our hearts to receive what God wants us to receive? Because we show up to church or Wednesday night here or whatever. God knew you was going to be there. God ordained for us to be here. If you're here, it's not by accident. God knew you was coming. And guess what? He went before and he prepared that. Okay, he knew that this was going to be, he's going to talk about this, you were going to be here. So anytime we go to a church service or Wednesday night or wherever, a revival or whatever, I've got to trust as a believer in Christ, because I'm going because I feel led to go here, you know, whatever, that something that preacher's saying or whatever, I need to hear. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I've got to understand that, man, there's something to this. Lord, what do you want me to get out of this? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's big revelation. Sometimes it's a little piece of the puzzle he's already dealing with you on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's always a reason to be there, because I don't think God does anything by happenstance.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I truly believe if we're following the Lord, he orders our steps.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants each of us to grow and to be empowered and be equipped and to desire more of him. Okay, I really believe that. He wants us to have more of him, because we've got to affect people outside these walls.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think the more that we understand that our life in general is just not accident,
mm-hmm.
that if we're really following him, he's ordering our steps, then you know what? I need to take in every opportunity he gives me for the Word. Mm-hmm. I need to pay attention and gobble it up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and I'm going to precursor this here, and so you can start thinking about, and I'm going to start it off, and we're going to sort of break this down a little bit into like a small group setting. And if you do not want to participate, just pass. I don't want to put you on the spot, but if everybody passes, I'm going to start putting somebody on the spot. I'm going to tell you that. Somebody better speak up, okay? We're going to start and go around the room, and we're hoping that everybody's totally honest, and I'm going to be honest to open up about that whenever we get there, is what's the one thing that hampers you most in getting more word? And what I mean by that is, like, I ain't saying you got to sit around and read the Bible all day long, but it would probably not hurt any of us if we got just a little bit more word than what we do now, right? I don't care who you are. Like, a little bit more word. So I ain't proposing that you do not read the Scripture. I'm asking you what hampers you in not reading the Scripture or reading the Scripture more. And I'm going to start that out in just a minute, and you can be thinking about that. But before we get there, I want to talk about how, you know, somewhat to Ted's point there about being in the right place at the right time and God inspiring and sort of giving you a rhema word, or like an on-time, right-now word. There's also a lot to be said about the other side of that, and that is the spiritual discipline of the word. You know what I mean? In other words, like, you know, Charlie and him that go through the Sunday school curriculum back there that the Church of God puts out every week. It's you know, now does it return void? No. Absolutely not. Even though it's a curriculum laid out. You see what I'm saying? So there's a discipline to getting the word daily, getting the word in you, to the extent that, you know, everything that comes forth can be used in some way in your life. It's not always a rhema word. Those times are great, and God sends them when you need them. But if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you sort of have to have the spiritual disciple, the spiritual discipline of getting in the Word of God. And so, to make this a little bit practical here, and to break away from the outline a little bit that I wanted to talk about, like, what's the biggest hindrance? And I, you know, I'm gonna start it out so everybody else is at ease, okay? To the word or to your study time, and mine would be this: as somebody who's called, and some of them that teach and preach can probably, I don't know if they're into this can, you know, fall prey to this pitfall or not. It's hard for me to read and study the Scripture outside of looking for something to teach and preach on. You see what I'm saying? Like when I study, like I remember before I had a regular, like, you know what I mean? Like, and thank God I got help now, and we're, you know, growing people into the ministry and all that. But I can remember when I first came here, I taught Sunday school, I preached Sunday morning, I preached Sunday night, and I taught Wednesday night. Like four times a week. So when I read, I wasn't reading for myself. I didn't have time to read and study for myself. I was reading and studying for a congregation to give that word. And so one of the biggest hindrances I have to the word for me personally is when I read it, don't try to preach it all every time you read it. So you know what I'm saying? So like you're reading through and you're like, oh yeah, that'd be a good sermon. And I feel like sometimes God just wants me to read the Bible and digest it myself. And I think that's, you know, and so to sort of flip this just a little bit and give you another minute or two to think about what you're going to say. I think personally, now if you don't teach or preach, you've probably said, well, that don't happen to me. But in one aspect, it can if you're not careful. And here's the aspect that it can do that in. Is when you read the Bible, you'll start seeing other people. You know what I'm talking about? Huh? Like, I'm serious. Like, the Scripture is probably one of the biggest pitfalls to judging other people that there is. You know what I mean? Like, I remember one time, and I think I've shared this before. This is before I started preaching. Like, God was calling me to ministry, and I knew it. And I was back and forth, wishy-washy. Didn't want to do it, you know, this and that. And I remember listening to the Bible, because I'd listen to it going back and forth to work and all that when I travel, and come across James where it says, a double-minded man is an unstable one. He's always, don't let him think he can receive anything from the Word of God. And you know what I thought? I thought of somebody I knew. You know what I mean? And I was like, that's so-and-so needs to hear that. You know what I'm saying? And buddy, the Spirit of God stopped me in my tracks and said, no, you need to hear that. Until you make up your mind, until you quit with this double-mindedness stuff, I can't take you anywhere. You can't receive anything from me being in the unstable double mind that you are. And so even as individuals, like I read it thinking about sermons, this and that, you can read it. A lot of times if you're not careful, you'll see like, and I don't do this. Everybody say, he doesn't do that. Come on.
He doesn't do that.
Okay. But you'll see your spouse in it. Right? I don't do that. Like, you'll read things. You know what I mean? Like you'll preach on her all the time. So like, no, I said I don't do that. So like you're reading. You're reading and you'll see something about, you know, the tongue is a fire, you know what I mean, that set the world on fire, and you'll go, you know what I mean, like you know somebody like that. Some of you may think about your spouses that way. I'm not saying I do, but I'm just saying those people closest to you, you'll see. Did you want to say something, Leanne?
Yeah, I was just going to say mine is understanding it sometimes.
Understanding.
I can read it and read it and read it. And then read it some more and still don't understand it. You know, but then I hit a spot and I'm like, oh, that's what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times that we read the word and we just don't understand what it's saying.
Uh-huh. So I think a couple of things there. I knew that one was going to come up for sure. And if there's one thing probably, and I don't want that to be the default here, and everybody just go, yo, good answer, and follow along with Leanne. Because I know there's other roadblocks to it, okay? But that's probably one of the biggest ones, because there's nothing more aggravating than trying to read something that you don't understand. Like you feel like you're wasting your time. Like, what is this? What am I even doing this for? Right? Like the directions they send and stuff to put it together. Kelly gets on to me all the time because I don't read them. To me, they don't make no sense when I read them. I got to sort of look at it and put it together. Even if it takes me a couple of times taking it apart and putting it back together, Like I need to sort of do it myself and then read the directions, because a lot of times the directions don't make sense to me. And so the scripture is a lot like that, in that you can get discouraged if it doesn't make sense to you and understand. And so there's two sides of that coin, and the one side of the coin is not the greatest and the happiest conclusion, but it's sort of a matter of fact. And then I'll give you the encouragement here in a minute. But on one side of that coin, I would say this. There's going to be things in the scripture, like, you know, I don't want to say this in a boastful way at all, because everything's from God. Like, it doesn't matter, like, if your calling and what you're gifted with comes from God. Like, people used to tell me all the time, don't get haughty in how you know the Word of God and can teach it. And I'm like, how could I ever take pride in that? Because I understand if God didn't do that, I wouldn't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, what I'm saying is, there's things in the Word that I don't completely understand, that Ted doesn't understand. Patrick, Joe, Dave, anybody in here doesn't completely understand and can explain. So that's one side of the coin, is there's going to be some things it's just hard to figure out. That's why it's called receive it by faith. So when you try to reason it, it gets a little cloudy. Sometimes you just have to receive it by faith. And on that side of the coin, God sort of sets it up that way because He does not want you independent. So if you understood everything in the Word of God that you read and didn't need help from a teacher, a preacher, or the fivefold that He's put in the ministry to do some of that stuff, you wouldn't be connected to the body of Christ. You would find no value in coming and hearing somebody teach or preach on something and go, ah, that's what that meant. See what I'm saying? So God does that a lot to keep us dependent on other people in the body of Christ and the, you know, your local church, to sort of break the word down for you to be able to give it to you. So He doesn't want you, it's just like praying. People say, well, you know, I have faith in somebody else's prayer more than my own most of the time. I think God designs it that way, because if you prayed and felt like you got your prayer through every time, if you read the Word and you understood it clearly every time, if you were able to function on this without anybody else, you would stay at the house and not share your gifts and not be around anybody else, and that's not what God called us to do. And so He makes us dependent on each other, and so we need teachers and preachers that understand to be able to break it down, but we're not going to understand everything. Now, the encouraging side of that is this. I honestly believe, like, I understand a lot of the Scripture for two reasons. And you may think I don't understand Scripture, and that's okay. But I feel like I understand the Scripture for the most part for two reasons. Number one, I read James, and for whatever the reason, when he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And I looked that word up, upbraideth not, means it means He's not going to scold you. And it made sense to me to think that God's saying, if you need wisdom, ask me, because I'm not going to get upset, because you need all the wisdom you can get. Plain and simple, right? And so I prayed, and I didn't fast. I didn't go on for 24 hours. I just said, God, it says in your word that if you lack wisdom, if I ask in faith, you're all about that. You're going to give me that wisdom because you want me to live in wisdom. So I'm asking for that wisdom. And I think that changed my life. I think that changed how I read the Scripture. The other side of that was, when I read the Scripture and I didn't understand it, I would torment God about understanding it. And what I mean by that is, if I read a verse and I did not understand it, or a story, and I thought, how many of you read Old Testament stories and go, what? You know what I mean? Like, and I always use this as an illustration, you know, and I've taught on it a couple of times, but I think it's one of the greatest illustrations of a what kind of story in the Old Testament is the big fat king. I mean, that's what the Bible calls him. He was fat. The Bible calls him that. And the Bible says that he sent everybody away, and he goes in and he covers his feet. And I remember reading that going, covers his feet. And then I understood he was in there using the bathroom, right? And that's what they thought he was doing, was in there using the bathroom. And you know,
The judge at the time went in, Ehud, I think it was, or was that the king? Yeah, King Eglon, and Ehud was the one that was to deliver Israel. He stuck a knife in him, and the Bible says it went so deep, the dirt came out, and he couldn't get to the knife to pull it out. And I thought, okay, that's about God delivering the nation of Israel, but why all the details about weight, dirt, you know what I'm saying? Like his bowels come out. Like why all of this, he sent him away. Like why was every detail of that story in there? And so I would torment God like every day. God, I don't understand that. What in the world is that? Like why did you put that in there? That I understand you delivered him that way, but why call this guy what you did? You know what I'm saying? And so he would let me see that with New Testament or spiritual eyes. I started understanding how that sort of happens to us. We get weighted down with stuff, right? And we get weighted down, we sort of get bloated, and then before we know it, we send everybody away. And then when we send everybody away, the enemy will stick that knife in us so deep we can't get it out, and we don't have nobody around us to help us because we've already isolated ourselves and we die spiritually. Like if you don't pray for God to give you the wisdom to see that in Scripture, you're reading that going, what an odd story. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
So the other side of that coin is you can pray for God to enlighten you in that way, and he'll, to whatever degree he does that, a lot of it may be the calling on your life, but at the same time, he's not going to withhold anything that is valuable for you and for your growth. And I remember an older lady on the holler, Naomi, who lived across the creek from us, and I remember telling my mother, and my mother told me, she said, she was counseling my mom there who just got saved about the book of Revelation, and she said, I've read it through every year, and she said, I don't understand most of it. Most of it I do not understand, but it says, blessed is he that receives it, and I'm going to keep reading it. So it was like even what she didn't understand, she kept reading it, and that is spiritual discipline. And that's the other side of that coin, whether it's prayer, whether it's the word, whether it's worship. Sometimes it's not what you get out of it, it's the fact that you do it because God said to do it. You with me? So in church, when you stay home because so-and-so or this and that or whatever, what's, you know what I mean? Like, God's not getting nothing out of that. Sometimes it's about what you give, not what you get. In the word, in prayer, in worship, whatever. So, who's next?
I'll go. I think sometimes, as I've said this before, I said this today when we was talking at the one of the schools, I think a lot of times I call it the God card. You know, we want God to do something, but we don't want to do nothing. God, would you move on this? God, would you do this? God, would you take care of that? You mm-hmm. know, that's why I call the God card, you know. But a lot of times we'll pray those things or we'll desire those things when God is saying, okay, then go. Or God is wanting you to do something. God is wanting us to do something. You know what I'm saying? He uses people. God mm-hmm. uses people. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'll take somebody that, a Christian-wise, or, you know, I've spoke to many, many people that before that'll say, you know, and I thought, you know, Teddy, I'm not saying for sure, but maybe I might be called to preach one day. You know what I mean? And I think someone that's called to preach, if you're in love with the Word, it's a good indication that mm-hmm. there's something there. I've never seen someone that was called to preach necessarily fivefold. Mm-hmm. That really just didn't have no desire for the Word of God.
You know, it'd be hard to teach or preach.
It'd be kind of hard to teach or preach that. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But to what you said about something I wish I could do would just be, I've heard people say things, and it was along the lines of what you said. I never thought about that. I really hadn't. I've heard people say, I'd love just to curl up and read a good book.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to just be able to read it, just read it, because I'll stop on this and go see what that Greek word means in it, and I'm constantly just going back and forth there trying to find a nugget for myself
mm-hmm.
and others, instead of just being able to simply sit down and read the book of James
mm-hmm.
at face value, knowing that, you know, just to get comfort from it, just to
be fed by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mine would probably be very similar to what you and I never even thought about until you brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you when's the last time I've just done that. Just sat down and said, I'm just going to read the Beatitudes, all the chapters, and not even stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because for so long I've taught and preached on, it's not about the quantity you read, but the quality that you mm-hmm. read. You know, it's better to understand five verses than it is to read five chapters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But there's sometimes I wish I could just sit and read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, curl up and read a good book.
There you go.
You know.
Next, who struggles? Come on, all the preachers are stepping up here. And Leanne, who else is going to step up?
Well, mine would be this right here. Putting your phones down, your distractions of social media, whatever that the world tells you that you got to get on and look to see what everybody else is doing for their day or whatever, instead of what's he saying you should do today. You know what I mean? And I think if we want to be alive in Christ, if we want him to move in all of our situations, our families, our relationships, all those things, it has to be the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook ain't going to save me. Twitter and all those stuff, that ain't going to save me either. It's putting that stuff to the side and focusing on His Word. And those distractions can take you so far left that sometimes you don't come back from.
Mm-hmm.
And you get so used to these things and not opening up His Word.
Yeah. Weapons of mass distraction. Anybody else? All right, Teresa.
Mine's close to what Patrick said, but busyness.
Mm-hmm.
Just working and coming home and thinking you got to do these. I was thinking Martha and Mary.
Yeah.
You know, you got to come home, you got to do dinner, and I do candles and makeup and stuff, so I usually come home and it's straight to my little work room, and I call it putting in the third shift.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you're doing that and stuff, so, you know, it's just busyness.
Yeah.
So much other stuff, distractions.
Yeah. I'd say that gets a lot of people, too. I ain't going to lie, it gets me a lot of times. You know what I mean? I was just telling Dave, I said, I know people wouldn't believe it or whatever, but I honestly, there's some days I feel like as soon as I wake up, like I go from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, and then before I know it, it's 10 o'clock, time to go to bed. Like, and it's like, where did this day go? And so having that time carved out, which is a good challenge for everybody to have that time carved out. And if it's, you know, a devotion, like I love what Kelly does there, and I'm sort of going to use her for an example here. I know for a lot of years, and she would admit this, probably because it's hard for her to understand what she reads. And two, I mean, she lives with a pretty good preacher and teacher. No, I'm kidding. She didn't have to understand it. I understood it for her. You know what I mean? And I think I laugh at that, but a lot of it's the truth. Like if she didn't know, she would ask me, or you know what I mean? She was with me for years and listened to me talk, you know, teach and preach for years. And so she wasn't as involved in the Word as what she is now. And now she does that Bible recap, I think it is, with that lady. Yeah. And she does that, like she'll do it at different times of the day, like tanning bed or whatever. And she hears that and that reads the scripture to you, and then she explains it. And it's been really good to see Kelly sort of diving in to that. On like, she's not going to be somebody that does what me or Ted does and sits there and looks up every word and sort of gets deep into this theological thing. But she wants to understand the Word more, and it's a great way for her to do it is to hear it and then have somebody sort of explain it to her. And what I'm saying is the challenge is this. Like, 15, 20 minutes a day, put that thing on, let it read to you, you know, let Tara Lee or whatever her name is explain it to you, and receive that. You know what I mean? Learn from that. And so it's not, I think that's another big hurdle in people's mind is they think you got to study to the degree that somebody, you know what I mean, look like, well, I got to go in here for 3 hours and, you know what I mean, roll out the Dead Sea Scrolls and sort of, you know what I mean, like, get in this big think tank and, you know what I mean, like, do this and do that and cut off everything here. Sometimes, man, just 15, 20 minutes and setting your heart toward, I'm going to get this in me today, no matter what. You'd be surprised. You know, it's just like, you know, the working out analogy. Going to the gym one time for 2 hours isn't what makes you fit. It's going to the gym 5 days a week for 15, 20 minutes. It's inconsistency. It's not in one overdose of whatever. And so do what you can when you can, but just do something, in other words. Anybody else struggle with the situation? Terry, I seen you flipping that mic up.
Well, Ted's kind of making me. But I'm just going it's kind of the same thing as a lot of people are saying. It all comes down to making it a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, just to get through my daily, I'm a list person, so I like make a list for a list for a list. Like on my to-do list, it'll say make a list for such and such. Like I'm just a list person. Mm-hmm. So I have to make sure that I put, you know, the Bible time in the beginning of my day.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's going to fall further and further and further down those lists, mm-hmm. because there's so much going on in a day-to-day, you just mm-hmm. day-to-day, that you just find it's easier to I'll do it a little bit later, do this first, and then I'll do that. It's making it a priority. I listen to the podcast, usually in the morning while I'm getting ready for work, but it's wonderful. But sitting down to the Word when I get to work, I get there probably 30 minutes, 40 minutes early before the kids get there, so I have that time to actually sit down and read the Word before I start my day, and that truly is like, it's like the Lord takes that time and kind of just shapes, not just shapes my day, but like, you know, making him a priority first thing in the morning
mm-hmm.
helps me so much, because otherwise I wouldn't have time. I mean, like she said, you go to work and then I call it second shift. I'm going to go to my second shift job. And it's like you work your first shift and then you go home and you're working the second shift. And then you get a little bit of sleep at night and you get up and go do it all again the next
mm-hmm.
day. I have to make, you know, the Word a priority. Otherwise, I'm not going to find time for it.
Yeah.
It has to be a priority.
That's a great point, because I've made this point before, and I've made it with prayer, and I think the same thing as the Word. Like, Bible says when Peter and John was going up to the temple, y'all remember when they healed the lame man, right? So it says at the hour of prayer, they were going to the temple. And so there was a time set aside that's what they done. And if you don't set a time, it'll be, I'll get to it whenever I can. Because I made this statement before. Say we somehow pulled this off, and for every hour and a half, all week, somebody's singing and somebody's preaching. So Monday, 7 o'clock, we got a service. Monday, 8:30 in the morning, we got another service. Monday at 10, we got another service. Monday at 11:30, we got another service. And all week long, we got an hour and a half service here every time. And we say, come when you can. You would go, man, that would help attendance so much. It would fall like a rock. And I'll tell you why. Well, I ain't got time today. I'll do it tomorrow. Because if you think there's always time to do it tomorrow, you'll always put it off till tomorrow. Then tomorrow comes and you go, I'll do it tomorrow. So, you know, sort of setting that appointment or that time is huge to overcoming that.
I feel like it's an accountability thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, if you have so many options of when you can come, the accountability of, oh, they won't miss me, it's not there.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? So there's a kind of accountability in showing up when, mm-hmm. you know, you're supposed to show up in those kinds of things.
Yeah. Because you think you'll catch it on the rebound a lot of times, and that's what happens with prayer and the Word so many times. Joe?
Well, I'll add to that. I don't have a problem. I get up at 5 o'clock every morning from 5 to 6 o'clock, and I study the Word. And I always tell myself, tonight, I'm going to do it again tonight. Well, unless you or Ted or somebody ask me to teach, or we have groups or something like that going on, I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I always say I'm going to do it. But now if we are having something, groups, or if I'm going to teach or something, then I do study.
Mm-hmm.
I make myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't make that extra time in the evening to do what I'm going to say I'm going to do that morning,
mm-hmm.
because I don't have to.
Right.
Because there's not, there is a purpose for it.
Right.
But it, apparently it's not purposeful enough, I guess, is what you'd say to me.
Yeah.
So that's what I need to work on, is to make myself do the same thing that I do in the morning at night,
mm-hmm.
rather than, like I say, you know, watching something else or doing something else. Or mm-hmm.
So what Joe's saying is he does better when he leads a group or helps somebody lead a group, right? Did I get that? How
well,
helping
the door
lead a group
for that
or
one,
leading
didn't
a group really helps him. Did y'all get that? Okay, I just touch him.
Well, I ain't doing the men. I ain't going to do the men's meeting.
Leading a group or being involved in a group helps you grow a whole lot. I've said that 1,000 times. Like when you lead a group, you can't, you know what I mean, you and your wife or whatever, you can fall out, but you know what I mean, you got to get over it because there's people coming to your house. And you know what I'm saying? Like you got to fight about it later because like there's people coming in and we got to hold this group and talk about Jesus here. So we got to, you know what I mean? Got to take your hands off each other's throats for a little bit there. So it helps you grow for sure. Anybody else want to offer up a why you struggle with the word? Uh-oh. Okay, good deal. Time.
Work, you know, 9 hours a day. But here's the good thing. I have an hour for lunch. I sit in my car. And sometimes I think, I'm not going to pick that book up. But it's better for me when I pick up the Bible and just read a few words, a few mm-hmm. scriptures, just enough to push me a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So I would agree that time is a big thing. Everybody's busy. Life is running, and we have to run with it or get run over. So
yeah.
So my hour in the car at lunch is my good time to get in a little bit of the word.
Yeah. And I think that's a big deal for everybody. And I think that's to shine a light on the darkness there in that. I think that that's the world's MO. And I think we all, to your point, I loved how you said you either run with it or get run over. Like, I feel like I've said this 1,000 times, like, I don't run my life. My life runs me. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you're always bouncing to whatever's got to be done or whatever. And the world that we created has so many conveniences now. It's supposed to make everything so much easier to free time up, and yet it just makes us busier and busier and busier. You know what I mean? Like you can get so, like with computers and you know, even AI, things of that nature, people can get so much more done in a week. Like there's not a doubt in my mind, the way that somebody used to work 40 hours a week, you can get as much or more done in 15, 20 hours now as you could 40. But yet we still try to cram more and more in, and we're so far removed from, as Ted likes to talk about, Mayberry, and you know, the Andy Griffith show, those times where you could sit on the porch, we're so far removed from that that we're in this dead heat, just a dead run all the time, and we, you know, we don't always afford time to read the scripture. But how, you know, just how important is that, you know, that we make an attempt to do that? But I know how hard that is, even for me, you know, a lot of times. Anybody else got a struggle with the word, Faith? That's all right. Give her a mic. She don't like speaking. Yeah. And whether it's the situation like that or other situations, so I would liken that even to when you're struggling through something. It's hard to be, you know, disciplined in some of the spiritual disciplines, whether it's the word or prayer or whatever. And so I can definitely see where circumstances sort of set up a roadblock to, you know, to wanting to get into the Word and share. But maybe, you know, maybe, like, and I don't know the work schedules and all that, but it might be worth, I'm sure your FaceTime or whatever, you know what I mean, a lot, might be worth, like, taking 15 minutes of the FaceTime and maybe do that together, so you sort of look forward to that with him. Yeah. I can see that. Again, like, your circumstances in your life sort of discourage you from doing that and getting in the Word. And that's one of the challenges, you know what I mean? Like, if it was, you know, I think if it was, how do I want to say that? If it wasn't worth it, there wouldn't be such a challenge there. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes the challenge is great because the reward is so great of it, you know. But I certainly see where that's a big roadblock in somebody's life for sure. But it can encourage you through those times if you read it. And that might be, so one thing you might could do there too is whatever is standing in your way to like discourage you from that, try to look up what the Scripture says about that to try to encourage you. You know what I mean? Sort of combat that feeling through the Scripture. Because that's another thing that I want to touch on here, and I don't know, I was kidding with Ted and Dave and them when we left from praying today, and I said, we'll get out about 9 or 9:30 tonight, but I ain't going to hold you that long. But I think one of the things, practical things that I would want to mention along those lines of what Paige was talking about was, don't think that it's got to be a certain way that you study the Scripture. And so what I mean is, like Kelly's, Tara Lee's, you know, thing, that's a devotion she goes through every day. But going through the Scripture in a year or whatever may not be your thing. But if you're going through something, build your devotional time around what you're going through. So do a topical study, right? Say you're going through sickness. Do a topical study on healings or whatever. You know what I mean? You know, do a topical study on the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, peace, long suffering, those types of things. And you know, with all the tools that we have on the computer and all that, now that's really simple to do, in my opinion, is to do that. So there's different ways that you can do that. One of the greatest ways, if you're more of like a story book reader than a Bible reader, one of the greatest things you can do is, and you can use the computer to help you compile all this to get going, or even read, you know, there's nothing wrong with buying a book that's got Scripture in it and allowing that to sort of direct you as well, especially if you're struggling to get something out of the Word. But, you know, buy or listen to or do it yourself, get in the Word and do a biographical study, like a person. You know what I mean? Like, I promise you, study about David. It would be like, you could read it as a story as this person's life, and you'd be amazed how you could see growth in David's life and his ups and downs. And you can learn so much just by looking at Bible characters. And some of them's got a great past there that you can go to and get a lot out of. And I enjoy studying that way too. And if you're like a storybook reader, great way to get in the Word. So it doesn't have to look like, you know, a devotion, get through the Bible, you know, in a year or whatever. It can be a topic. It can be a person. It can be a book. It can be so many different things there that can help you get in the Word of God. Don't sort of pigeonhole yourself into thinking it's got to be one way or no way. There's so many different ways that you can get into the Word that it can benefit you. Joe? Joe done killed the mic. It's on. You might have hit it one too many times and muted it. Oh, yeah. Lisa, where are you at, Lisa? It's off, he said. Oh, yeah.
And to go with Joe, that was exactly my thought too, Joe, is making time. And in a way, too, I think about, you know, if whether it's what she's talking about or a different set of circumstances, the devil is going to fight you because God has something for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So whether it's that situation with her or whatever, you know, anything worth having in life usually doesn't come easy.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that. You know what I mean? Got to work for stuff, blah, 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 blah. But I think spiritually, you know, the adversary is going to do what he can to keep you from walking in your calling.
Mm-hmm.
When God's got something for you, he's going to do what he can to interrupt that or delay it or whatever, you know. And I think a lot of times with situations like that, and I think circumstances, obviously, busyness. I think there's a spirit of busyness in this country, if you want to know true, a spirit of busyness. I truly believe that. I do. But, you know, the adversary is doing it because he don't want you to reach your full potential in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all of us. You know what I mean? And I think we sometimes should try to become more determined because he's fighting hard for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you could be the key. I could be the key. Brother Joe could be the key that unlocks something big.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes it's a struggle, and that's okay. Everything in life ain't easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know a lot of people that would count that as a huge victory if they actually sat down for 30 minutes and done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like you see it as a small chunk, there's a lot of people would see that as a huge victory to sit down and do that for 30 minutes. But I love the fact that you recognize your obstacles and you work around them. You know what I mean? Sure. And here, this, and I mean this sincerely. Like, and you may know this, but never thought of this. So when I say this, I'm not like talking down or demeaning anybody at all, but on your phone, because I do this, on your phone you got settings. Like I got a setting to where Kelly, one of the kids, her mom, and dad can get a hold of me, but everything else is delivered silently. And I'll be honest with you, it stays that way most of the day, and I check periodically in between what I'm doing or whatever to see who is messaged or what's needed, because if you leave that thing on, it'll buzz all day long, right? So if you can't work around that and get that time, you could set that phone to only my kids can get a hold of me, or only my kids and my sister can get a hold of me, and put it on that setting. And then if it's a, you know what I mean, if they text or whatever, it's a priority, you can get to it or whatever. But everybody else's messages or phone calls or whatever, you know, the world done just fine when everybody couldn't be reached just like that. You know what I mean? Like, the world's going to stand. Like, and that's the way I look at it. I have to do that. And so, like, if I don't, you know, if I don't get back to somebody in the first 30 seconds, you know, the world ain't gonna catch on fire, right? And so there's times where you got to do that to sort of put priorities on it. Kelly, are you going to say something? Oh,
I got something.
You was playing with the mic there. I thought you was going to say something.
I'll tell you another valuable way that I have discovered really helps with that too is joining a small group really is beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Because not even just if, like Brother Joe, lead one. Because whether it's one verse that you talk about or whatever, or you know, a topic, if you will, that's targeted,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Whatever it is,
you're talking with people in a small setting, and that really, really is so, so helpful
mm-hmm.
when it comes to the Word, because mm-hmm. somebody will say something and somebody will be too shy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I always want to ask that question or whatever, and then somebody will bring it up, and it, you know, that to me really is a huge plus.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm not really plugging, but I am plugging because I think it is so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen growth more than in that setting with the Word and understanding Scripture and stuff like that.
And if you're involved and you chime in, there's an accountability type thing there too. Like if you know you're going to be called on to talk about what went on that week in the Scripture or whatever that you're supposed to be studying, there's a, almost like Joe's talking about whenever he knows he's got to teach, there's going to be a responsibility there to where, hey, you know what I mean? Like, I got to get in the Word. Like, Teresa done the seniors, and she talks about how busy she is. But during that time, I bet you made time to prepare for the group. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? So, like, being accountable in those ways is huge. And, you know, of course, we're living in the age where nobody wants to be accountable to anything. So it's a world that's fighting against that. But accountability is probably one of the greatest things to hold you accountable. Imagine that. All right. Anybody else want to chime in with something they don't, or they struggle with in the Word? Just one more. Something different. Just one more. Anybody else? Staying focused? So like when you read the Word, and do you mean like when you're reading the Word, staying focused on what you're reading there and not going somewhere else, or just something else going on somewhere? I got you. Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, not to pick on her again, but I would say my wife falls into that category. Yeah, Kelly's like that too. Like, and I'm, yeah. Man. Yeah.
I think listening to an audio Bible is very, very helpful too, because.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times we ain't the best at our English grammar,
mm-hmm.
you know, the exclamation points, commas. When you can hear it read to you,
mm-hmm.
it'll put an emphasis on a word that you hadn't been emphasizing in that verse. Mm-hmm. And that can be very helpful.
And I tell you what, to add to that, if you read it while you listen to it, it's like it's two inputs or senses. Man, yeah, like over and over and over. Yeah, that can be super frustrating. I recognize that, but again, because, you know, I live with Kelly. But, like we're totally opposite in that, and that, like, I can think about nothing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she'll say, what are you thinking about? And I'm like, absolutely nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, my mind's as blank. You think I'm into some deep study, and I'm not thinking about a thing in the world right now. Or I can think about one thing all day long. You know what I mean? Like a single track mind. And she's like, yeah, like 7-minute conversation. And I'm like, whew, slow down here. You know what I mean? Like, we done been to there, here and back, and bought this and done this and painted this and done that. And I'm like, she does not have ducks and they're not in a row. She has squirrels and they're everywhere. So, like, I can see that and how that's hard to focus on that. And that would be something that probably you would definitely need to just sort of pray about ahead of time and go, God, help me to, and maybe do smaller chunks of study. You know what I mean? Like maybe take a verse and really break down that verse instead of getting too many, so that your mind, like almost like cutting down the time, the space where you don't have, you know what I mean? Like it does. You don't give your mind time to run off too many places. Like cut it down in small chunks, maybe. You know. But I, you know,
pick on her a little bit more. And my wife can do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm hopeful that most people can do it. Yeah, even if you got to go back and listen to it again. So, yeah, she's putting the work in, and the Lord's blessing her for it for sure. All right. So we got one more. Do we have any others? Okay. Yeah, that's a great point, and that's one thing, and this is going to sound funny, and that's okay, but it's along those lines. When you can read it and hear it, and it adds so much to it, and to your point, and everybody's probably going to laugh at this, and that's okay, but like, when I really studied the Word, I'll read it and listen to it with headphones on, and I'll literally, like if it's Paul, because first off, when you go to study a letter, or the book of the Bible, if you know the background of it, do some study and find out, okay, Paul wrote this letter when he was in jail. Because when you do that, you'll understand, like, when he reads things like, man, he's so encouraging here, and the dude's in jail. You know what I'm saying? He's been shipwrecked, you know what I mean? And here he is being so encouraging. So if you know the book, if you know the background of that letter, it helps to do that. And sounds crazy, but what I would do is I would put headphones on and listen and read the Bible, and I would try to put myself in Paul's shoes, being in prison. And one instance that really made an impact on my life, because it was almost as though I tried to act as though I was getting the revelation and writing it down as he was. And so I'm playing Paul, to your point, trying to do the movie thing, and the book of Romans chapter 8, right? He talks about all these things that's against him, you know what I mean? And then he says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So we read that as line upon line, precept upon precept, but if we get in Paul's train of thought and understand where he's at and the situation he's in or whatever, you know what I mean? If I read that time, and it dawned on me playing him that he went through all those things, and then maybe he paused and thought, man, what? How can we defend this? What are we going to say about this? If God really loves us, if he's for us, and people see it, all these things coming against us, how do we answer for that as Christians? What shall we say then to these things? And then I sat there for a minute and thought about Paul being in that tension of these things are happening. What can I say about this? And then the revelation comes. If God be for me, who can be against me? You see what I'm saying? So don't think that it's a revelation, which I think a lot of us do. We think Paul got a revelation and he just sat down and started writing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's just dictating there, whatever, you know what I mean? God's saying, I think there's a revelation going on with the writer, and he comes to the knowledge, there's tension that's built in the Scripture, and then God answers that tension, and if you see that light bulb as that writer, that person under the revelation going, oh, if God be for me, then who can be against me? I feel the Holy Ghost saying it that way, because the tension is all these things are against us. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Put yourself in that position. Allow yourself to feel that tension that the writer was going through. And I think it makes a world of difference in the way that you understand the Scripture. So great point. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And see, there's 100 ways. Like, if you, like, there's nothing wrong with, you know, visually. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I think in the world that we live in, that's going to become more and more, and probably to that point, is really, really how people learn. You know what I mean? It's the reason we got screens. You know what I mean? At least you get to see a picture, or we do videos or whatever. I've said this 1,000 times. Our job as ministers now is harder than it's ever been, because at one time, if a preacher was preaching, like before TVs came out, like if you listen to radio, that's one reason everybody come to church, because you get to actually see somebody, and then they were animated with it. You're like, wow. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hear it and I see the show now. You know what I'm saying? And now we live in a world where we got videos and technology, and like we're scrolling, and the average scroll is like 35, 45 seconds long. Funny videos, right? Watching that video, this video, and then we wonder why we're going. And when somebody comes in and preaches for 45 minutes, you're going, whew. You know what I mean? Like, we'd be better off to do 22-minute TikToks up there than 45 minutes, because that's how people are trained now in their mind to bounce from one to the other. And to Angie's point, watching a video to engage yourself in that, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And doing what they done, which is vitally important, is checking the scripture and making sure that that thing's accurate. Anybody else before we close? All right, you. Dave's going to shut it off there.